to C3 Church Hepburn Heights. We believe Jesus Christ gives life to the full, and we are called to live it and share it. We pray you enjoy this message today.
Wayne's World. Who remembers it? Who's watched it? Who's watched it more than once? Who's watched it lots and lots and lots of times? Not recently, but when I was much younger and early teen, it was one of mine and my friend's favourite movies. And we quoted it a lot, an unhealthy amount, I would say, including this line towards the beginning of the movie where Wayne walks into a diner and says, "This guy needs coffee and crullers stat." We didn't even know what crawlers were, but it was a cool line and we liked stat as well. That just sounded good when we were about 14. So I'm pleased to say that about 25 years or so later, after watching that movie many times, quoting it so many times, I've actually enjoyed a crawler now. I've tasted one. I know what they are. No, I don't actually. I can't tell you what's in it or what it's made of, but it's delicious. So, what is a crawler, you guys might ask? It's something, it's a sweet, it's a slice of heaven, is what it is. There's soft pastry, something crusty on the outside. Actually, that's mine, the sugar-coated one. There's a clue to where you can get one if you want to try one. And that's Ben's coffee-flavoured one on the left. So, we tried these from Goods a few weeks ago, and oh my goodness, the surprising delight that filled our mouths, I cannot tell you. I actually giggle thinking about Ben's face. We were sitting in the car and, excuse me, we like yummy treats, so it's not like unusual for us to be having one, but this, when we walked into the bakery as well, you know, often you're like, oh, what should I have? I just saw the word crawler and I was like, that, I'll have that. And then we're sitting in the car and Ben's just eating this, looking at me like, oh my goodness, what are we eating? It was heaven. And now, you know, they don't look like much, but oh boy, if you see one, buy one. And eat it straight away while it's still fresh and warm and add a coffee. Oh, so good. So, I just keep seeing Ben's head face in the car now. So cute. So, surprising delight, at least with crawlers, and so, so much more, of course, with God. Is exciting, puts a smile on your face. It's memorable, joy-bringing, life-giving, and definitely shareable. So Ben established for us last week. Ben. I'm trying. Jesus at the centre. Not crawlers, not Ben. So Ben established for us last week that all of creation obeys laws, that obedience is tied to love, and that our obedience is pivotal to purpose. Our loving obedience to our Heavenly Father is essential, and out of it, surprising delight waits for us. So what is it that God wants from us, our God who is love? What should our response to His love, Him loving us, be? The Bible, God's Word, is big. Does anyone have an actual Bible in their hands right now? If you only read the Bible app and just do your daily refresh, you might not really realize how big the Bible is in written word. It is a big, big combination of 66 books with lots of events, important words, instruction, lots and lots in there. But today we are very thankfully going to narrow it down, bring it all together in terms of what it is God wants from us. And actually, Jesus does it for us. When he's being challenged by a Pharisee, Jesus, our master teacher, takes the opportunity to teach us and define for us the pinnacle, the crux, the linchpin of what we must do to obey him, our loving creator. So from Matthew 22, verses 36 to 40 today. The Pharisee says, "Teacher, which command in the law is the greatest?" He, Jesus, said to him, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the greatest and most important command. The second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets depend on these two commands." So here Jesus quotes Moses. Moses gathers the Israelites as they are about to head into the promised land and says, "This is how you need to live. You're about to get into the goods, people. How are you going to live? This is the way." We read that in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5. And in the NIV and NKJV version, it says, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength as well." So, what does God want from us? Everything. For our own good, God wants us to love him with all that we are. And why is this the greatest command? Because as Jesus said, all the law and prophets depend on these two commands. Everything, all the laws, teachings hang on these. As we lovingly respond in obedience to this, the greatest commandment, it gives us the best chance, a huge head start in obeying all of the Lord's teaching and instruction. Our greatest response, our greatest act of obedience for our God who is love, is to love him with all that we are. Him first all the time. Him first above all others. Him first above all others, including ourselves. There's no room for compromise. I'm sure you're catching on to that now. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. So I wonder, what is your response? What's our natural human response to this command? Some of you are probably like, "Yep, I'm all in." Some of us are like, "I'm in. Oh, wait, hang on. That sounds like a lot. I don't know if I can do that." Or, "I think I'm doing that, but I'm not sure. I love God, but am I loving him with all that I am?" I'm sure there's a variety of responses in all of us here today. We're all on somewhere different on our journeys, and we're all considering this simple yet huge command in our lives that we are living right now. But why does it seem or appear so hard? If this is God loves us, we love him, why does this command sound so big? Well, I suggest obedience. Just like Ben shared with us last week, we are in a suggestion-laden world. We like suggestions, and then we get to choose from it. This is a command. And it sounds like a lot of work. I already have so much on. How can I fit this kind of commitment into my life on top of what I've already got? And I suggest also, it sounds like there won't be much room left for me and what I want to do. So here are the cruel alike, way better, tasty treats for us to feast on today. The first surprising delight, our Heavenly Father, his greatest request of us, his greatest request and desire is you. You are his greatest desire, that you would know him. God's greatest desire is relationship with you. John chapter 14, verse 21 says, "The person who knows my commandments and keeps them, that's who loves me. And the person who loves me will be loved by my Father. And I will love him and make myself plain to him." That to me sounds like relationship. And think about it for a second, like God of creation, God who is sustaining life all around the world in this very second, of all the things he could have commanded us to do, the greatest is that we would know him and live for him and love him. It's incredible. I had an experience, school holidays of term one. It was a Thursday. The kids were home and I think I had to prepare a communion or something. There was something going on and I was thinking after lunch I'm going to have my time with Jesus and I'm going to get it prepared. And I've been a Christian for over 30 years now, and so spending time with Jesus is like a normal thing for me. And sometime before lunch, I just had a sense that I've never had before, and I can only explain it as like a weighted presence that after lunch, Jesus was waiting for me and was excited and looking forward to me sitting down with him. And I've never had anything like it. Well, and nothing yet since like it, but it was quite recent, so that's okay. But very hard to explain, and the time I had with him was just beautiful. And it has put a smile on my face. Someone asked me a month or so later, "What is going on with you? What's this joy?" And I just relayed that experience of like, I can't believe he would just be happy to see me. He was excited to spend time with me on such an ordinary day. It was an otherwise ordinary day. But that was a surprising delight for me. The second surprising delight, as our loving response is obedience to this greatest of commands, as we love him with all that we are, first above everything else, what we discover is that there is only more love. Obviously, life doesn't get perfect, challenges don't leave, disappointments, they're still there. But in Christ, there is only more love. Galatians 5, as you may know it, as we're filled with the Spirit, the fruits of the Spirit in us is love and joy and peace and patience through life. There is only ever more love. And the third surprising delight, at first as we read this command and the second of equal importance, it seems like it takes all of us, right? Like, it feels like it would almost remove us from others. If I'm giving everything to God, all my heart, all my mind, all my soul, all my strength, there's no room for you. Sorry, Ben, you're out. Like, there's no room for other people. But only in Christ, only in God, our exclusive love for him somehow includes everyone else. He actually creates space in us to love others. Can't explain it, but we're living it. And Ben will be sharing more on loving others next week. So surprising delight abounds as we discover that in the obedience of giving all that we are not left empty or depleted. Quite the opposite. We are filled over and over again. So how then, I know you're asking it, as we want surprising delight, as we want to love and obey God, how can we live this? How can we do it now in 2023? Well, let's not leave here wondering. Let's find out. And let's also, church, not hold ourselves to a perfect standard. We are not perfect people. I am not a perfect person, my goodness. So what we are saying is yes. Yes, we will commit to setting ourselves up. We will make good choices. And we will also remember that there is grace for us when we do fall short. Dallas Willard says, "Grace is not opposed to effort. Effort is good. but is opposed to earning. We continually rely on God's grace. We are not earning His love. If we fail, if we fall short, and as I've said, we all do, we don't need to make it up to God with 30 minutes or 3 hours the next day. Good luck if you try. That's not the relationship that God wants. So let's not forget that we all, at regular points, for varying reasons, rely so heavily on His mercy and grace. In my life over the years, I have set up some good habits. Time alone with God is a good commitment and habit that I don't mess with. My preference is first thing in the morning. When I had little kids, they also were awake very, very early in the morning and needed things of myself and Ben. So at one point in my journey with little kids, I moved my time with God until after lunch, when one was sleeping and one was having rest time, precious, precious time in the bedroom. After lunch, they went into their rooms and I went into mine to pray. There was other things I could have been doing, and my mind would always be saying, what about the washing? What's for dinner? Don't you just want to watch TV? Yeah, I probably did. But I committed to it. And then then another one, Lucy came along and, kids happen. Morning, after lunch. We're back to mornings now because they've grown up and can do their own breakfast. So win-win. So, because it has become ingrained in my life, in my habits, it now feels weirder if I don't spend time with God in the morning. But guess what? Sometimes I can have my time with God in the morning and honestly, I'm distracted. I can go through the motions, but I'm distracted. I'm trying not to be. I'm trying to take captive my thoughts. Sometimes I'm distracted. Sometimes I feel overwhelmed in the presence of God and I do not want to leave. That is not always the case, but either way, whatever's happening, I stick to my commitment. Another one that my family set me up to succeed is a commitment to be in church on Sundays. I praise God they picked a good one. Years and years ago, when Mum and Dad gave their lives to Jesus, they found this church and made it home. They're on the front row, which isn't helping right now. Early on, Mum and Dad learned that to love God requires commitment. Commitment to being in the house of God with you. So thank you, Mum and Dad. And thank you also to all of you parents, grandparents who have set up your families to succeed in this commitment. My goodness, we need this commitment in our lives. And truthfully, there's other commitments that I am trying to establish in my life now that I'm not always doing so great on. Sorry, some messages just came through from my daughter on my iPad, which is distracting me. That is bizarre. Yes, so I'm not always doing great. See, distractions, they come all the time, no matter how you set up the settings on your iPad. But the good news is, God will always, in His love, pick us up again in His loving arms and say, keep going for your good, keep going. So on that note, our absolute best chance of living a life of obedience to this greatest commandment, to which there is not much wiggle room, is to set up our lives around God. Instead of trying to fit God in around our lives, we choose to switch that around and have Jesus in the centre. And of course, this isn't going to just happen, right? No healthy, lasting relationship just happens. We make choices. We invest ourselves into
the relationship. Excuse me. Holistic spiritual disciplines are acts of loving obedience we offer to God steadily and consistently, to be used for whatever work God purposes to do in and through our lives. That's from Invitation to a Journey, an incredible book. For this most important relationship, for which there can be no competition, we really can't afford to see what happens, how I feel at the end of the day, if I have time. They are okay, maybe in some relationships, but not this one. Our Heavenly Father is too important. He is not an optional extra. Excuse me. Tyler Staton in Praying Like Monks, Living Like Fools says, to order your day according to intimacy with God is the lived intention to keep him as your first love. Commitments, not feelings, are how we show our love. Can you pass me a tissue, please? When I was recording this on Thursday for online, I had... fine, thanks. Had a like nice cough happening. So Tom said, that's fine. Just every time you're about to cough, just pause and smile. Cough and then come back smiling. I did that quite well. It was a lunge to the side, grab a drink, and then I'm back. So don't watch it online and analyse it for that reason. I'm definitely not going to, although I trust in our team's editing skills for sure. Okay, so how do we do this? What does it look like to love God with all of ourselves? And I think a great way for us to do this today is to look at some instructional scriptures and consider how we can make them commitments in our lives, how we set up our lives around God. So now in our next few minutes, this may be a good time for you to review, just as I have recently, and therefore wanting to add some commitments into my life. Maybe a good time for you to review. It may be a good time for you as you are looking at how do I do this? What does this greatest of commands look like if you're at the start of your journey or you've never actually set up good, solid, steady commitments in how to love God? These may be helpful for you. Busy or not busy as we are, we're all required to live in the same obedience. This is for all of us. So Lana, if you would like to join me on the keys, that would be beautiful. So these scriptures are just ones that I have chosen today. You may have ones that you already apply and use in your own lives, or you might want to go and find some of your own. I encourage you to do that. But what we need to do is we are looking to structure our lives, set ourselves up. We need to recognize that these are all choices. No one falls into these, not even Pastor Cherry or Pastor Ben, even Pastor Jason M. No one falls into these every day, all the time, without making commitments that become habits and rhythms. So our first scripture today, we've got a whole lot of action on this slide. Thanks, Aaron. I'll read out the scripture for us, and then I've got some questions for us to read and consider in how we're applying it in our lives. This one comes from Joshua chapter 1 verse 8. And just before I do this, I just pray right now, Lord, would you come and speak to us in the gentle and kind way that you do, to encourage us in how we can love you, in how we all in our lives can put in practices and commitments that we would set ourselves so that you are in the center and everything else happens around you. Speak to us now, we pray. We open our hearts to you, Lord Jesus. Amen. So the first one from Joshua. Study this book of instruction, that is the Bible, the Word of God. Study this book of instruction continually. Meditate on it day and night, so you will be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do. So reading and meditating on the Word of God. Am I doing this? When am I doing this? Is it continual? Am I stopping and waiting for Holy Spirit to come and empower my reading and meditating? Holy Spirit is our guide, our helper, our revealer of truth. And what is one thing I can do, add, or change to make this a reality in my life from today? I chose this scripture as you're pondering your answers to these questions because I like that this is engaging our minds and our intellect to know God, to learn His will and His ways, and then we act, we obey. Our second for today comes from Philippians 4. Don't worry about anything. Simple statement. Sounds easy. If you've lived more than maybe 8 years, it's not. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He has done. Our personal ongoing conversation with God. Is God in the center of my thought life? How regularly am I praying, and is it about everything? Am I bringing the real me to the table? Am I sharing my desires and my needs, that is my heart, with God? Am I stopping and waiting for Holy Spirit to come and empower me as I pray, allowing Holy Spirit to help me pray? And what is one thing I can do, add, or change to make this a reality in my life from today? And the third and final one for today is from Romans chapter 12, verse 1. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all He has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind He will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship Him. My body as a living and holy sacrifice. How am I placing myself, my body, in position to love God above all else? Am I where I should be, and am I avoiding places I shouldn't be? Do I let Holy Spirit guide me in positioning myself? What is one thing I can do better to better position my physical self to love God with all that I am. Again, church, there are many scriptures you may know or can find that can guide and direct you to the behaviours, the habits, the positions that can set us up to successful, loving obedience. As I come to a close today, can I finish by reminding us of the delight, the surprising delight of our obedience to love God above all else. The first one was, God's desire is you. Above everything, he desires to know you and to be known by you. It's relationship. The second one is that the more we obey by loving him, the more love we discover. And the third is that loving God with all that we are actually creates more space in us to love others. Let me finish in prayer for us today. Lord God, we thank you that you are love. Here in this moment, we breathe in your love. We receive your love today. And our response is that we want to love you back with all that we are. God, we repent today. We ask your forgiveness for where we haven't loved you with all that we are. Where we've chosen other things over you. Please forgive us. And by your Spirit, would you help us to set up our lives with you in the center? Help us, Holy Spirit, would you lead us and guide us into these commitments that set ourselves up to love you with all that we are. We commit ourselves again to this loving obedience where we get to know more of you, more love. Thank you that your invitation is so good. Lord, I pray for every person here that we all could establish these commitments and habits in our lives, as busy or not as they are. Help each one of us to set up the ones that are right for us at the right time, in the right place. Thank you for your help. Thank you that you are our strength. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks so much for joining us here on our podcast. We encourage you to let this word further help you live and share the life to the full that Jesus gives. If you want to check out more about our upcoming events, service times, locations, or to give online, go to c3hh.com.au.